All right, Brian's going to begin us with a word of prayer this evening. Tonight we're going to continue in our study of prayer from the book of Psalms, specifically the topic of God answers prayer. Just to review just a little bit from last week, we looked at some of the characteristics of God that should encourage us to praise to Him. And those characteristics that we looked at were His great power, His infinite knowledge and understanding, His knowledge of every single individual. Remember, He knows the hairs of our head. His loving kindness, compassion, mercy, long-suffering, some of the very things that Brian mentioned in his prayer this evening. His righteousness, His faithfulness. All of those characteristics of God should give us confidence and encouragement in praying to Him. We can also have confidence in God that God will hear and answer our prayers if we are righteous, if we call upon Him in truth, if we fear Him, if we have a broken and contrite spirit. So those were just some of the highlights from Lesson 2 from last week. Before getting into tonight's lesson, were there any other thoughts from last week, maybe something that I missed that someone wanted to point out. Right. Well, something that maybe I should have asked last week, it'll fit in for tonight's lesson, but I wanted to start out with the question, how does God answer prayer? We've been studying for, again, 2 weeks now. God answers prayer, but how does He answer prayer? Does He speak directly to man? No, He doesn't. I heard an answer. What was that? Through the Holy Spirit. Okay. Any other thoughts? Certainly. Doesn't speak directly to man in the way that He did to the prophets or the patriarchs, but He does speak to us through His Word, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Any other thoughts? Anything else?
I think that in today's world, so many people are lost listening to the televangelists, and God, and to them, speaks to them regularly on a daily basis. It's meant so many people. The fact that some man can come up and just tell you what God said for you when you have the Word.
Right. Some of the ideas, some of the thoughts that I had, Matthew 7 and verse 7, and the thoughts that I added are in parentheses and italics there. Jesus speaking here, ask and it will be given to you. In other words, God gives us what we've asked for, or He doesn't give us what we've asked for. Seek and you will find. He helps us find what we're looking for. That would be an answer to a prayer. Knock and it will be open to you. He opens doors of opportunity. Just in that one verse alone, there are three ways there that God answers prayers. An example is from James chapter 5, where we see the account of Elijah. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. So he prayed that it wouldn't rain. God answered by preventing the rain. And he prayed again in the heavens, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So we see two answered prayers there. God answered the prayer with either no rain or with rain. Any other thoughts before we move on? Right, so we had a Sunday night Zoom lesson recently on contentment. And I think contentment is certainly going to play a big part in tonight's lesson on giving thanks to the Lord. Someone answer this for me. What comes first, contentment or gratitude? Can we have one without the other?
Best you can count. I know that's somewhat impossible.
agree. Anyone disagree with that? With Brian's thoughts? So can we have one without the other? I can see that line of thought. But if we're truly thankful for everything that God has given us, and we're going to look at some of those things tonight, in my mind, that's going to lead to gratitude. I mean, that's going to lead, that's going to lead to a heart of contentment if we truly are thankful. Mark?
Well, not to go back to the Zoom class and reteach that, but you know, what Paul said was he will learn to be. It was a process to get there. And it's a process that sure that we all have to battle through. But like Brian said, contentment, gratitude is going to pave that way to getting to be to a contented state. And you know what? That doesn't take away our drive, our interest in doing better for ourselves. Let's not confuse those two aspects. You can be content with where you are and what you have and still have a drive towards improvement.
Very good. It's all part of maturing as a Christian, right? And growing in knowledge and understanding of God's Word and His will. Any other thoughts?
Contentment is not complacent.
I think that's what Lamar was hitting on, too.
James just said that.
A lot more simple. All right, so let's look at Numbers 1 and 2 there in our lesson book. And we'll do like last week. I'll read out the question and someone can throw an answer out. So, number 1, for what should we give thanks to the Lord according to Psalm 107, verse 8?
For His goodness and His wonderful works for the children of men.
Right. The children of men includes us, right? We fall into that category. And to go along with that, number 2, how often do we receive benefits from the Lord? And the follow-up there, so often. So how often should we give thanks? Right, the answer to that, to both questions is daily. So, Psalm chapter 107, verse 8. I'll just read that quickly. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. That verse, that exact phrase is repeated in verses 15, verses 21, and verses 31 of the same chapter. So it's important. At least this psalmist thought it was important. there in chapter Psalm 40 in verse 5, we see a similar thought. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. So, the psalmist here, in both Psalm 107, Psalm 40, both talk about the wonderful works of God, the many wonderful works of God. So, let's talk about some examples of the wonderful works of God. Jesus Christ, absolutely. What else?
Well, we started in Genesis, we have to include creation.
Absolutely, creation. I'll get back to my list in a second. Let me hear some more of y'all, your ideas.
Fulfillment of promises.
Say forgiveness. Forgiveness and
fulfillment of His promises.
Fulfillment of His promises. That includes in the womb, right? Any other wonderful works you can think of?
Just right here. Brother, fellowship. Worship.
The church. About what we talked about last week, his ability and desire to answer prayer, that avenue he created for us to be able to communicate with him. His Word. Brian talked about Genesis, the wonders of creation, the flowers that bloom, the raindrops as they fall, the spacious skies, life's perpetuation, or our very existence. And that's from the song in our song book, Lord, I Believe. The plan of salvation. Someone had mentioned Jesus Christ. That's certainly... is of great importance there in heaven. And Christ, can we all agree that Christ is of enough importance that we should thank God for Him in just about every prayer? What do we call the prayer before a meal oftentimes?
Giving thanks.
If we're going to give thanks, don't we have to include thanks for Jesus? I've heard prayers from brethren, especially before a meal. I don't know if they're afraid the food's going to get cold or what it is, but it's, thank you for this food, thank you for our family, please heal the sick, amen. There's something seriously lacking from that prayer. It's Christ. I cringe every time I hear a prayer like that. I'm not saying that every prayer has to be long. I'm not saying that every prayer we utter throughout the day has to be. We have to make mention of Christ and His sacrifice for us, but it should be of utmost importance. We're going to talk a little bit more about courage here in a few moments. Courage play a boldness play a part in that. if we're whispering, if we're almost trying to make sure that people don't hear our prayers, are we being bold? Are we showing courage as Christians? Not really. And then we talked about the frequency of these prayers. You know, the Lord bless us with so much. He blesses us daily. We better be praying daily. We better be making sure that that we're thinking, taking the time to thank Him daily for as many blessings as we can squeeze into those prayers. All right, so it's also... remember that we should not only be thanking God for His wonderful works, but we should also be giving thanks to Him for His goodness, His mercy, and His truth. I'd like to read Psalm 100. If someone would please read Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5. I think this is a great psalm to describe the goodness and the goodness of the Lord. So Psalm 100, 1 through 5.
Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him, and bless His name. Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations.
Which brings out another point. Is our thanksgiving limited to prayer? What did we see in this chapter?
Song of thanks.
Right. We can sing songs of thanksgiving. We certainly have those in our hymn books. Psalm 106, verse 1 says, Praise the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. We have a lot to be thankful for, and that's why we should be, according to Ephesians chapter 5, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Does God notice when we forget to say thanks? Absolutely. Can anyone think of a I've got the passage up here, but can anyone think, remember what this account is from Luke chapter 17?
Nine lepers who didn't return.
Yeah, can you read that, Philip, Luke 17, 11 through 17? So for us, for those of us who are parents, if we have one of our children who doesn't say thank you in some specific situation, we notice it, right? I make my kids, I remind them, say thank you. Whether it's to their mother or grandparents or one of you here. When y'all give them candy, I make sure they come back and say thank you. So if they're not doing it, let me know. For whatever it is, having supper cooked for them, whatever it is, a special treat, anything, our kids should be saying thank you. We should be saying thank you to the Lord. All right. Any other thoughts on giving thanks before we move on? Andy?
Another verse in the New Testament we talked about is 1 Thessalonians 5th chapter. There toward the end, it says in verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That was another thought that I had, but we talk about the things that we ought to be thankful for. We always go directly to the good things that happen for us. If you read back in that Psalm 107th chapter, it says there, after, I think verse 8 was one reference to that question, but if you read down through, from starting in verse 10, it says, those who sat in darkness in the shadows of death, bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor, and they fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their troubles, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and broke their chains. So I think another thing we ought to be thankful for are sometimes the things that bring us back to the Lord. Definitely.
Thank you. Yeah, and it kind of goes back to that maturing as Christians. If we're bathed in Christ, we're going to have maybe a hard time doing that. So we need to work every day and make sure we're maturing and growing as Christians.
And our study Sunday, the Lord chases who he loves. Sometimes it's kind of hard to be thankful for a chasing.
Yeah, it can be hard to be thankful for being tested by fire, right? It's not pleasant at times.
And thinking about that, being tested by fire and the gratitude that we grow into and mature as Christians, you know, you think about, as we were talking about earlier, how some people, it takes time to really have that gratitude and to be thankful for those tough times. And think about Peter, when Jesus told him, Jesus said, by this you're going to glorify God. When he talked about you're going to reach out your hands and somebody is going to take you away, going to lead you away. When you were young, you went where you wanted to go, but now when you're old, somebody else is going to take you where you were going. And Peter looked and said, well, what about this man? Talking about Jonah. But as we see later on in Peter, then he talks about giving up his life, that he knows what's going to happen to him. So it's just a process of time, a lot of time in growing, in maturing into what we need to be. So it definitely takes time to be grateful for those things that are always comfortable.
During those difficult times, the easy thing to do is to blame God, right? And we see that happening so often, to blame God rather than to thank God. We can be a great example to our family and our brethren and those of the world that we know that they can see our reaction. Any other thoughts on thankfulness, giving thanks? All right, let's look at number 3. What should we do when we have sinned? Anyone?
We need to acknowledge it so we can be cleansed.
All right, confess our sin to the Lord and ask His forgiveness. Have you ever known of anyone that thought their sins could not be forgiven? Have you ever heard someone say, well, I've committed this sin. I just don't see or know how God could forgive me for what I've done? Can we use the Psalms to help teach that error? Certainly. Let's look at Psalm 32. That was part of the question here. But Psalm 32, someone read verses 1 through 5, please.
Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not give iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into
Psalm 51, verses 1 through 7, if someone could get that for me. So we can see from Psalms that if we ask for that forgiveness, we can have confidence that God is going to forgive us. Looking at the New Testament, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we ever have any doubt that we've done, that we've committed some sin that God can't forgive, remember that plan of salvation that we mentioned earlier and the thankfulness that we should have for that. Be thankful and remember that God sent His only Son to shed His perfect blood for us, that we can have forgiveness of that sin. And as long as we confess it, as long as we repent of it, He will forgive us. But if we don't confess our sins to the Lord, what effect is that going to have on our prayers? Right. Did you have something the other day? Good. Thank you for pointing out that passage. Alright, what's 1 Peter 3 and chapter 7 say? Certainly is a wake up call to husbands, and it is a warning really to us all that our prayers can be hindered. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. So if we're not behaving toward our wives as we should, our prayers are going to be hindered. If we're not living righteous lives as we should, our prayers are going to be hindered. It's the effect of fervent prayer of a righteous man that avails much, not the effect of fervent prayer of a wicked man. We need to be living, our lives according to God's will so that our prayers are not hindered. Any other thoughts on this? Delights, something he desires to do, right? We talked a little bit about that. All right, let's look at questions 6 and 7 now. I skipped to number 5. Let's look at number 5 and 6. I think I might have messed my PowerPoint up a little bit, but that's okay. Let's look at number 5 and 6. The psalmist asked to be delivered from whom? His persecutors, there in Psalm 142. Can someone read that for me? Psalm 142, verses 5 and 6. I think number 6 goes along with this. When the psalmist was being mistreated by others, what did he give himself? To what did he give himself?
Prayer.
Right. So let's also look at, disregard questions 6 and 7. That should be 5 and 6 on the PowerPoint. Let's also look at Psalm 109, and I'll read verses 1 through 5 there. Psalm 109, do not keep silent, O God of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful have opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They have also surrounded me with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. In return for my love, they are my accusers, but I give myself to prayer. Thus they have rewarded me for evil for good and hatred for my love. Have you ever found yourself in a similar situation? Is that out of the realm of possibility that each of us in this room this evening could be in a similar situation? Certainly, we've all had someone lie against us. Someone been hateful to us, Chad.
An observation about the way that they have handled this too, just complained to others about being wrong. He doesn't broadcast what's going on. He said he gives himself prayer. He takes it up to God. There's a more lesson in that.
I know he didn't have Facebook, but I don't think he would have gone to Facebook with that. He went to prayer. All right, we can certainly pray to be delivered from our persecutors like David did, but we shouldn't forget to pray for, someone read my mind here, for the persecutors, for them. Matthew 5, verse 44, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you. Just don't forget that. That's important as well.
It's hard to hate someone who rightfully.
Certainly.
Right. And that's a tool that we can use to prevent, you know, the improper feelings that can be mustered up when somebody mistreats you.
Absolutely. Alright, so now let's look at questions 7 and 8. When did the psalmist cry out to God? According to Psalm 61. Right? And when, what can the Lord do for our anxieties? Comfort us. So I want to spend a minute talking about this. According to June 2020 CDC survey, 40% of U.S. adults reported struggling with anxiety and or depression. 47,500 suicides were committed in 2019 per the CDC. Anxiety and depression are a big problem, and even for Christians. Now, I know there are situations where there are medical issues involved, but there are also times when we're not doing our part. We're not crying out to the Lord when we need help, when we're overwhelmed, as Psalm 61 is an example of. I don't think this... Yeah, this was from number 8, Psalm 94:19. In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. In times of anxiety, God can not just comfort us, but bring us to delight. Let's also quickly look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. I'll try to read that for us. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. And then Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I know we're running out of time here, but I want to mention one thing that Chad often mentions in his prayers. Something along the lines of asking God to be with those who have been who are burdened by the cares of this life. Is that right? You think those are people who would fall into this category of being anxious and that could certainly use God's help in that area? So I appreciate Chad mentioning that. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, is there something that we've discussed already tonight that we should be doing that can help with our anxiety? Right. Praying, giving thanks for His many wonderful works. That should distract us for a while, right? Count your blessings. That can change our mindset there. All right, so number 9 there says the psalmist asked the Lord. Let me stop there. We're probably not going to have time to finish. Did anyone? We can finish up those last couple of questions next week. Did anyone have any thoughts on the anxiety issue? All right. We'll see if we can cover number nine before the bell rings. The psalmist asked the Lord to give him what? Psalm 119. Understanding. And for what purpose was that? That I may learn your commandments and that I may know your testimonies there in verse 125. Alright, so we'll discuss the last three questions a little bit next week and then get into lesson 4. So, once again, thank you for your comments.